Everybody agrees technology has changed our world. We are more connected than ever, and yet more disconnected in a lot of ways. Kids are plugged in like never before. They have information at their disposal that you and I could never have dreamed of having. I still remember when the encyclopedia salesman came around, and I thought we were in seventh heaven to have all this information at our... And look at what kids have in front of them today. All kinds of information, and yet there's a problem. Today on an historic Toxic Talk Tuesday, we talk with my toxic life coach about the technopoly that we are in and then our response to it. The question is not, is there a problem? Everybody knows there's a problem. The question is, how are we going to be part of modeling for our kids? How are we going to show the way without being labeled fuddy-duddies or technological illiterates, letting our fear get the best of us so that we move away from this because we are afraid of it? Or is there a different way? Straight ahead on a stimulating edition of Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org, 877-548-3675. I'm really looking forward to the conversation today because it's different. You're thinking, oh yeah, I walked into the restaurant and I saw all the kids with their iPads and their phones and everybody's looking down and nobody's talking with each other. That's not the program. That's not what we're talking about today. It is, but it isn't. And you'll hear more about that straight ahead. Nate McMillan's our producer. Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. He always says hello to me. Frodo Washburn is our gaffer today. And Trisha McMillan is doing all things other. Now here she is, mother of nine, wife of one, fresh off a debilitating bout. Ryan, where's the theme song? Don't we have a theme song?
I'll wait.
Okay, thank you. Now here she is, mother of nine, wife of one, fresh off a debilitating bout with a bark scorpion, author, long-distance runner, graduate of the University of Virginia, founder of Moms Aware, and woman of Wrigley Field, the one and only Andrea Fabry.
I don't know which of those to respond to. I am no longer a long-distance runner, I will say that. But thank you anyway. I was at one time in my life. Yes, you're right. Woman of Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
How many games did you go to Wrigley
probably
Field?
Probably a handful when we were living there, wouldn't you say?
I would not. I only
Three?
Remember one game.
Two?
I only oh, remember no, I, no, one game.
Let's not fight, please.
And I went back and I looked. It was 1984. It was the spring of 84. It was the Cincinnati Reds. Pete Rose was still hitting. He was the coach of the team in 1984. Mm-hmm. As I recall, this is all coming from the synapses here. And you and I went to that game, Andrea Fabry.
But wait, you said you looked it up. I'm
Woman
just wondering.
Of Wrigley.
Oh, you looked up that game.
I looked up the game, yeah,
see.
To see when
oh,
it was.
And
it
was the benefit of technology right
end
there.
End of May, as I recall. But don't hold me to that. Now, the bark scorpion, you got to tell listeners, I recorded like a 10-minute interview with you. We
but
haven't
it's
aired
too
yet.
Long. Well, I suppose if you're ever in need. It's
yeah,
all yours.
It's our emergency
that material
backup.
Is
You're
yours.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil the story. I mean, I could summarize. I mean, it's a fascinating 10
it
minutes.
It is. But see, it's like watching your favorite movie over and over again. You just go ahead and tell it. And
sure.
You stepped on this thing.
Well, no, he came right across my toes.
Oof.
And right by my standing desk, mm-hmm. I was checking something mm-hmm. over at my desk at night. In a dark corner, and from underneath the drape, if you will, it crawled right across my second toe and stung me. And I'll put it right up there with childbirth. Thank you very much.
I've never, honestly, I mean, I still have the fingernail marks in my arm from some of those children, the births of the
Not
children.
Not the scorpion, please.
This one, she got in the floor in the kitchen and held her foot up.
Oh,
it was
so
that
painful.
And I think if it had been on the bottom of your foot, it would have hurt, but it wouldn't be, you know, the skin is a lot thicker on the other side there.
I have a whole new compassion for those who have a fear of scorpions. I honestly
didn't.
I don't like seeing them. Yeah. I just had no idea. And then my foot was numb for a full 23 hours, and I counted those.
Now, you're telling too much of that. Don't let that. That's like a spoiler alert.
Oh, for the interview. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah. The story gets so much better.
No, but it's true. And then, you know, what you used to treat it was kind of the toxic thing. You know,
I took charcoal mm-hmm. almost right away. I put some clay on it mm-hmm. to help with the surface problem there, but really it was just time.
That's what everybody
time.
Does,
it needed so. Time to make its way through, and it did. Walking and running just fine now.
Right up there with
not
childhood.
Long distance. Though.
All right. Well, Andrea, welcome back to the program. It's been a
Thank
while
you.
Since
it
you've
has.
Been here.
Thank you so much for having me back.
And this is the first time that you've ever been in this hour of Chris Fabry Live, as I recall.
Well,
you've
I always... don't think so, but we could check.
No?
Let's check.
I think you've only think ever I've... been in the first hour. Last time you were with us was September the 6th. We talked about ventilation, which was just an award winner. And
well, I thought it was open a window this winter. There you go.
If you wonder how can we spend an hour talking about that, go back to September 6th and listen. Now, here's the thing. And I know that you have a passion for this. And when I said, you know, what would you like to talk about here today? It's just this is the thing that keeps bubbling to the surface of
it
your
does.
Life. Why are we talking about lessening our dependence on gidgets and gizmos.
Gidgets?
Gizmos and gadgets. Why are you doing
I like
that?
Gidgets, though. Actually, remember that movie, Gidget? Gidget Grows Up? Gizmos and Gidgets. Sorry, that does date us. Do you remember that, by the way?
I remember okay. Gidget, but I never saw the film.
Okay, well, I don't know that I did either. Yeah. It does keep surfacing for me, and it has for going on 2 years now, and every time I think... You can think about something else, Andrea. I'm so interested in it, and it has been nothing but rewarding for me personally. And I'm willing to talk about something that really is unpopular to talk about. I guess I feel in my heart that especially the church needs to consider this issue, and as individuals we do, and as parents we do. And probably the biggest passion I have is for parents, although as individuals, I've seen just the change in my own life in the last 2 years by even addressing the subject. So yes, this is, you would think toxic mold might be up there. I'm very interested in chemicals in our food and in our products. I'm very interested in water quality. I love all of that, environmental issues and health, environmental health. But to me, this is the elephant in the room when it comes to our physical, emotional, spiritual health.
Wow. Wow, it's the elephant technology, Technopoly, as a matter of fact. There's a link on It Takes Time to what you've written about called Technopoly and the Loving Resistance Fighter. Maybe the operative word there is loving, don't you think?
I do, and I hadn't found anything that I struck a chord with personally until I came across this phrase, if you will, the Loving Resistance Fighter. And it comes from Neil Postman, and it's really prophetic. He wrote this in 1992, and the book was this is the book that I have just loved. I'm read it for a third time, Technopoly. And if you're wondering what Technopoly is, you can summarize it by saying the surrender of culture to technology. So it's not so much about our devices, it's the attitude with which we approach our devices. And Walden said our tools are our tools. We're tools to our tools way back when. And how prophetic as well. I mean, we are tools to these devices. They're running us now. And unless we pause and think about it, and not necessarily today's program isn't 10 things everyone needs to do today. It's not that. I just think we need to talk about it lovingly and be willing to think about it.
All right. We'll get into the Technopoly and what Andrea is dealing with. Toxic wise with what you have in your hand perhaps right now. Maybe you're listening to this program on a device like that. So she's not saying that all these things are bad. It's how we use them or how they use us. Today on Chris Fabry Live. Thanks for joining us today for Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org, a Toxic Talk Tuesday for you here in October. We're talking about the surrender of culture to technology. Have you seen that? How have you seen it in the culture of the church? We've surrendered our culture to technology. Have you dealt with it personally? Have you noticed an addiction in yourself, not to your kids? It's easier to look at your kids or your grandkids. My grandkids won't talk to me. My kids won't talk to me. They're always looking at their... No, I'm talking about you. Because I really believe, and I think my toxic life coach believes, that we can model something different, but that's really hard. So here's our number, 877-548-3675. 1-877-548-3675. You can answer the question on Facebook as well if that's easier for you. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. And by the end of the program, of course, I'm expecting 10 ways that we can do this, Andrea. You're going to help me.
Of course. Absolutely.
So answer the question, have you dealt with this surrender of the culture to technology?
How have I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have you noticed, let's ask the hard question. Have you been addicted? Have you seen yourself tied to your phone?
Absolutely. And this was what was, it hit so hard. And I think this is why I come at this with, from the depths of my being, very much. I became a blogger after our health crisis to first help family and friends kind of keep up with this. And then it became this passion to help educate and raise awareness about environmental health. And I absolutely loved it. I discovered that I loved to write. And before I knew it, 8 years goes by. Well, six at the time, where I began to think, wait a minute. How is it that time passes so quickly when I'm online and passes so much slower when I'm not online? For the first time in my life, I remember thinking, I can blink and the day is gone. I love this so much. The time passes so fast. And after sort of studying why that was, it was pretty astounding to see that I really was almost coping with my life in a way through my blogging and online work. And then, of course, it doesn't end. You get on, and before you know it, it's been an hour. So when I became aware of sort of the health effects of even just electricity in general, the fact that it's biologically active, this is not natural. In the last 100 years, what we've put into our daily lives is simply not natural or anything that we're accustomed to. That's when I really began the journey. But I didn't do a whole lot about that as far as being online. I noticed that I was very depressed mood-wise if I was online a long time, especially on Facebook.
And that had nothing to do with your marriage, right? In fact, you were depressed.
No, not at all.
That's another program.
No. Talk about escape. Just, you know, again, entertaining the questions, but all the while studying building biology, which is what I, you know, absolutely love, is the way we build our structures. And that was the first place that alerted to me to any health issues with electricity in general. So I'm kind of getting at it both ways and learning this online, and at the same time sort of noticing these things about my mood. And it's a journey. And I started like, as I would advise anybody to start, by just looking at nighttime. When you're sleeping, nobody needs any device, period. So that's, we don't need anything when we're sleeping. And I started to just put my emphasis there and not worry too much about daytime exposures, if you will, or activities online, or limiting myself. Again, every little step counts, every little decision. I got a lot of reward for that personally. And in my family, it was hard to shut everything off at 10 p.m. when you have teenagers in the house, because that was new. It, again, in a blink, we're surrounded by this stuff 24/7 without a thought of limiting it in any way. It's as if it took over in our house. And we all had our devices before I knew it. So we began that way, but slowly over time, I watched my mood and length of time, and continued to read and read. I love to read anyway. What I stopped doing was reading ebooks and actually purchased the books, so that I was reading not online, but reading books. Read some literature again for the first time, started going on walks, longer walks, and again, noticing that even when I was walking outside, I wanted my headphones at first. It was a huge adjustment. I wanted my music, or I wanted, well, music. How do I just be outside walking? And how did that happen? That became almost, I couldn't imagine then having headphones after a while, months. started walking, started pulling away. And we've talked about, we did a whole program, I think, on why I gave up my smartphone almost a year ago. Right. And that took 6 months to think about because you're on duty all the time. I have an online small business that I really love. And it doesn't take a whole lot of online time. I just love crafting natural products. It's very fun for me. But I noticed that I was just felt on duty all the time, or just this need to check my phone. And but more importantly, I was looking at my kids and their devices and knowing that I really can't, what can I say to them if I'm needing to check? It's a very strong pull, and we're not crazy for that. That's by design. That's how the brain operates. We get a dopamine hit, if you will, a reward system from checking. There's in this one book, he calls it a dopamine tickle. It's just enough to get you to keep coming back. So I got rid of that. And as you know, I could go on and on. But more recently, I took just a break, sort of a fast myself, because my kids were off and I wanted to do things with them. And I thought, I can do what I need to do in half hour, 45 minutes online before they get up. And that's what I did. And what so shocked me was the way I viewed my day. What if that was every day? Because I don't work. This is not anything I have to do. So that's why I say start when you're sleeping, because some people, this is your job and you can't just quit. So I'm just sharing my story. And what I did was try that. Imagine if that's how my life was. I could do what I needed to do in an hour. I just felt like the whole world was open to me, and we hiked and we did errands, and I wasn't in a hurry. It was leaving it that made me realize, even when I'm with my kids, I'm like, well, when can we get back? Or, oh, if I could just get this done. I feel like I missed a lot of life in those years, but I'm not, I can see why. And it's not necessarily like I can go back. You only move forward with what you know. And so that's partly why I'm here today, is to share that story, but also to share some of the thoughts of those who are thinking about this, because I have found people that are and who are writing well about it and helping us think about this. For example, if I could just start the conversation this way, it's from the book Technopoly, The Surrender of Culture to Technology. And again, computers were just getting started in the late 80s and early 90s. And he says, it's inescapable that every culture, and I might add, it's inescapable that every church must negotiate with technology, whether it does so intelligently or not. A bargain is struck in which technology giveth and technology taketh away. The wise know this well and are rarely impressed by dramatic technological changes and never overjoyed. And
wait a minute, say that last sentence again.
Are rarely impressed by dramatic technological changes and never overjoyed. And I can see that that's really changed for me. I was just as excited as the next person when the newest gadget came out. It's just, wow, it's amazing. And now when the iPhone 7 came out, and I did watch the release of that, and I can tell you I wasn't overjoyed. And it's not like, oh, nobody should get an iPhone 7. If you get an iPhone 6 or 7, hey, it's waterproof. I get that. That's awesome. The earbuds is a different story. but there was just a difference in the way that I took that in, I guess.
Because you're asking the question, not what will this do for me, but weighing that with what will this take from me, or what will this mean to my life?
It does both. And we're just wrapped up in what technology does for us. And as a culture, I'm not speaking to individuals, everyone's different on how they see it. And probably there's a lot of people listening who say, for 20 years, I've had this less than overjoyed feeling. And I applaud that, because I didn't. I did not. But yes, everyone comes at this from their own place.
All right, here's the number, 877-548-3675. I want to know if this is something that you're struggling with. Are you kicking back against technology for yourself? And have you seen that modeling have an effect for your kids? 877-548-3675. Or how have you come up against this in the church as well, because as you've said, this is something that we have to struggle well with. But I just have to stop here and say what we have done so far for the last 21 minutes is so counterintuitive. And I think I'm going to make this a new thing for our program. Chris Fabry Live, radio is good for your brain. And the reason I say that is because so much of what we do is click, look, I read a little bit, go to this, click, do this, look at a video, ha ha, I got to show that to somebody else, boom, we're doing this, that, and the other thing. You can multitask when you listen to a program like this, but there's something, I believe, there's something that goes on in your brain and perhaps in your soul as you listen to a conversation between two people, and then you hear other people come into that conversation. There is something that relationally happens that doesn't happen necessarily on the clickbait culture that we have fostered here. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. The audio, and I know that I want to continue a podcast or being here, you know, absolutely the audio has to be better than the visual, because it does, you can be driving. If you're going to drive anyway, why not engage in a conversation that is meaningful? In fact, that's one of the things that, if you really look at what Facebook does and why sometimes if you spend an hour on Facebook, you feel depressed after, you're not alone, number one, but we like to be engaged in things that are meaningful. Yes. And I think that's why Christian radio is such a gift, is it's meaningful. And so you leave better for it.
Well, why is that though? Because I used the analogy when you said this, we were talking last night, you used that analogy and I said, it reminds me of the big box store that I go into and they have some of the produce in the front and they'd always have these big sandwiches in the front. And those look so good. They look so good, you know, foot long, it was only $3.97 or whatever it was. And every time I had those afterwards, about a half hour afterwards, it's like, I don't feel so good. The next time I go in, oh, that looks good.
That looks
good. And it's the same sandwich.
And I did not know this. Now, there's a book called Glow Kids. It's the newest book I know that talks about this. And he's an addiction specialist. And for any parent who's looking for reasons to think hard about what you give your kids, this will give you so much value in that thinking. But in the addiction field, we know this phenomenon quite well. And things that initially and briefly make us feel good, like that sub sandwich, can tempt us because they're dopaminergic and may have once upon a time felt good. So we focus more on that remembered short-term feel-good dopamine surge that we may have experienced in the past. And this is known as euphoric recall. And we tend not to remember how we felt after. And I do feel that way about this sort of empty online perusing, especially in social media. We forget that after an hour, we just don't feel energized or good about that time.
It's the difference between eating fast food and eating something that came right out of the ground, you know, that something that's been prepared well and something that's been prepackaged for you. And I'm noticing how many of the things that I will now, I'm not going to click on that, not because it's immoral or illegal or anything like that. It was just like, no, I know the way that they have worded this, they want me to click on this. I'm going to fight against that. You know, I'm going to go back and do. How many times have you gone online to do something and 15 minutes later you think, why did I open my browser?
Where did that time go?
Yeah.
And sometimes I never even looked up what I was going to look up or did what I was going to do. I totally forgot. That's so funny you'd say that, because in the book Glow Kids, he outlines the healthy tech diet, digital vegetables versus digital candy. And video games, mindless YouTube surfing, internet porn watching, hypertexting, hyper social media, that's candy and vegetables. I'm sure everyone's, okay, what can I do?
Yes.
Internet surfing to research a topic, emailing, educational videos, Skyping a friend, because this is a great gift for families who are at opposite ends of the country. They can actually see each other, creating music. He even says following a sports team is better than sort of the mindless clicking.
Okay. bunch of calls. If you're on the phone right now, hang on. I'm going to get to you. Had this happen this morning. I'm writing a story that's based in 2004, and I wanted the main character to hear a song that came on in 2004. The internet's great for this because I could click in and I could see Billboard's top 100 for the year. But, you know, 10 minutes later, I'm looking at something else that somebody else posted, a friend posted about the Chicago Cubs, and I still did not have the name of the song that, you know, that one. I had to remember, oh yeah, I'm writing the story. And it just shows me, you keep the browser off, make a note in the manuscript, find song title. And I did a little bit later on. I won't tell you what it is. I'll keep you in suspense.
2004 makes me want to go look it up.
877-548-3675. If you go to Facebook, now look, be careful. But if you go to Facebook, you can answer our question right there. And I got a full bank of phone lines of people who are saying, yeah, this is my life. 1-877-548-3675. My toxic life coach is with us today, and we've been talking about dopaminergic drugs. See, I've spent all that time trying to figure out how to say it. Dopaminergic.
Dopaminergic. That sounds right to
me. Releasing or involving dopamine is a neurotransmitter. Drugs with this effect are used in the treatment of Parkinson's disease and some psychiatric disorders. Some are subject to abuse. And what does this have to do with technology?
That's a technology, of course, the author of Glow Kids, who's an addiction specialist, said this is exactly what we're giving our kids when we hand them a tablet or a phone, smartphone or anything, is something potentially
like a drug. But it seems
so good.
It's, you know, the kids in grade school, and you give them a tablet and they're doing this stuff, and it's, you know, they're learning, right? Well, there's a downside. You're saying there's a downside to all of this technology, and are we letting technology overwhelm us, or are we using it? So now we get to phone calls. Eric is in Franklin, Indiana. Hey, Eric, go right ahead. What do you want to say?
Hi. I just wanted to say that about 6 months ago, I made the decision to ditch my laptop, ditch my smartphone, get off the interwebs, and I'm only in high school, so most of our assignments and most of my friends are constantly on social media, but and I thought the change was going to be very difficult. I was kind of going to be an outsider, but I can just like attest to the fact that since doing that, I have had so much more free time. I've been able to read more books, try dozens of new things, try new foods. Like I don't have that distraction looming over me anymore.
And what made you do that? That's very unusual for someone your age.
I think a big part of it was I kind of just noticed how much time I would literally spend 2 to 3 hours just on social media, because it does give you that kind of high. And, I just realized that there's so many other better ways I could be spending my time.
Are your parents, what did they think? Are they into technology?
I'm the only one in my family who's done it, and it's a little bit different. Especially at parties or at the dinner table, if they're on their phone or talking about the newest app, I'm definitely out of the loop. And, they don't see me any differently, but I think they could definitely also attest to the fact that I, out of basically everyone else I know, have been able to try new things. A lot of people don't get to do that and don't get to branch out because they're so attached to their phone, and that's all they really have time for.
Well, I think you need a whole hour with Eric.
I
at some
do
point.
Too.
That is
Eric,
just so encouraging. Well,
we want to give you a standing ovation right here.
I mean, I really do.
But that you see, here's the other thing about that I love about what you're saying. You're not throwing stones at your family and your friends. You're not saying all these bad people out there. It's just like, I want something better. And you know what? You're going to have an influence over the people who are looking at your life saying, Eric, how come you're so calm right now? You know, how come you're not all wrapped up about the election today? You know, didn't you see the thing that I saw? And you're going to show them a better way, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, at first I was a little bit hesitant because I knew I'd be out of the loop on a lot of things, but I mean, it's definitely paid off. I've gotten to do a lot more with my life instead of spending like 3 hours on social media. So,
well, thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
I just think you have got a ministry ahead of you on this. You are way ahead of your time. You will never regret it. The best thing I ever did was get rid of my smartphone. Do I miss it sometimes? When I'm out and I can't find my way or I feel like I need to get a hold of somebody, texting is a nightmare now. But anyway, thank you so much for calling.
Love it. Love you, and that you're in high school and doing this. Here's Julie just down the interstate in Indianapolis. Hey, Julie, go right ahead.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually kind of struggling with this right now. Currently, my mom has completely taken Facebook or deleted her Facebook. Both of my sisters have. And they've like, are you still on Facebook? I'm like, well, yeah. And I started to analyze, what do I really do on Facebook? I see the comments that like my pastor will put on there, or my family members and things like that, and have family members in Mexico and things like that. So for that aspect, I kind of almost make up the excuse that I talk to them, but I really don't. And I do have their cell phone number, and I can call them, even though it's going to be long distance. But I never really reach out to them as much as I want to think that I do. So leaving or shutting down my Facebook, and I've noticed, like, I'll get on there, and I'll just be scrolling, and I'm not really looking at anything. I'm not really seeking anything. I'm just scrolling. And I'll say to myself, you're wasting your time. Go do the laundry, or go do something else. It's making me so lazy, and I'm trying to change the way that I'm being a little bit more active, because I'm only 28, we're at an age where we're just, and I preach this all the time. It's, don't give your kids a cell phone. You're just going to make them lazy. Let them go outside and play. But yet I'm not setting the example. So that's really hard for me to do it, though.
Yes, I so identify. Exactly. And good for you, again, that you're asking the question. You're evaluating your use of Facebook. I'm still there. May not be in 6 months. I'm there. And I go straight to someone who might need something about what I do with Moms Aware, or it takes time. That's it. I don't ever look at anybody's page unless they ask me to. Other than that, I don't, even my kids. And many of them have gotten off. But that being said, here's one tip that has helped me so much, and it is hard. But since I decided I could do everything I need to do in an hour or an hour and a half, give or take, I'm not going to be, too uptight about this. I write down what I need to do during the day, because it'll come up. Oh, I want to check that out, or I wonder about this, or I need to order this, or I need to email that person. So I just write it down and I keep a list, and it can wait. All of it can wait. If it can't, it can. I can get on there for a couple minutes, but if it can, the next morning I get up, I check off those 10 things in maybe 15 minutes, and I feel so much more accomplished. And that's just a small little tip that I'm working on, is making that list. This is what I'm going to do on there. And maybe it's reach out to your pastor. So I don't necessarily think it means all or nothing. It may, though, for some people. Everybody is different.
But the whole thing about, I want to talk about the whole thing about depression and Facebook, the depression and online things. Julie, I'm glad you called here today. Here's Chris, who's around the corner from Julie. Hey, Chris, go right ahead.
I've just recently had to leave my house, and it was more of an apartment, and I put all my stuff in storage, which made me have to purge a lot of my stuff. And I've been an avid gamer since I was a kid. First game system was a Nintendo. So, but anyways, all my games, I ended up having to sell my game collections and stuff like that. And now I'm in a hotel for the past 3 months, and I've noticed how much more time I have on my hands, and also I've been praying more and everything, so it's been wonderful to have this where the Lord, you know, opened it up to allow me to, you know, to be able to have this opportunity to come back to Him in that way.
Interesting.
Mm. And do you think you'll go back after being away from it?
I've been playing a few games on my phone, but it's I know that the Lord's got me in His hand, so I know that it's not going to be like it was before. I'm never going to go back. Yeah, and it's interesting that it took me this long to finally get it out of my life, and it's such a blessing to hear about the teenager who learned early on. That was a blessing.
Yes. Yes.
17 years old, and he's already got that figured out. I like that. So, go ahead, Andrea.
Well, in again, this addiction specialist, Nicholas Carderis, I believe his name is, Glow Kids, just out last month. Chris, you would really identify with his chapter on video games and the strength and power of those with the brain. It's how your brain is made. It's tapping into these, it's myelination. It's not just the dopamine, but that's a huge part. It hits the reward system, and then we could become isolated, and then all other parts of life seem overwhelming, or we can't get that stimulus anywhere in life. And to hear you say, I just spending time with God now is... That just is so exciting to hear that you can identify the difference, and you really can't spend that kind of time when you're thinking, I can't wait for the next game or the next check of my email.
But here's the thing, and Chris, thank you for your call. I don't want to step on any toes of somebody who is creating this great graphic for this coming Sunday. At church, we are becoming more and more tied to the visual, tied to the electronic, and maybe your church is not this way. Those that have the budget to do it are going more this way. And I wonder if we need to ask some hard questions along these lines. And it doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with, you know, what we're saying here today, but what is this, what is that doing? What is relationally, what does it do to seed what's going on here in the front behind the pulpit to up there on the screen? Is there anything that is there a downside to doing that? And it's not, is it bad to do that? No, just what are the downsides of going there? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and if we don't ask, and this is why I'm such a proponent, if someone's interested in this, of Neil Postman, because he's no longer living. He has nothing to gain financially from this writing. But this was before tablets that he's writing about the need to ask the question. It's not necessarily solving it or doing away with it, but are we talking about this in our churches? Are we challenging our people? Are we even willing to entertain the thought of, today we're not going to have any media, it's just going to be candles? That's what about that?
Mm-hmm. Or you mean in the home? You're talking
No,
about,
I was thinking in church.
In the church. Okay.
Why does it have to? It's just gone so quickly, and I understand it, and it is very stimulating, and we don't feel like we can hold people's attention, let alone young people, without it. And actually, that's pretty true.
I wonder if when we went away from hymnals, and somebody gonna throw the hymnal at the radio. But when you went away from holding a hymnal in your hand and singing from that, when we went from that to the worship chorus, to the screen, to the... Now you don't even see the song, you just see the phrases of the song that you're supposed to sing. What is that doing to the synapses? What is that doing to our soul? And I'm not saying your church ought to change. It's just, let's ask the question. Like Charlene is asking the question in Florida. This topic really affects your life, Charlene, right?
Yes, it does. Hi, Chris. I love your wife. She needs that program, not you. She needs to be in that program, not
I
you.
Agree with you.
She is
I
a
agree.
Down-to-earth, realistic, real godly woman. My husband and I have been married for 28 years, have 3 successful children, and they ask us, how do you do it? I said, because we put God first. He's our source. But I don't use, I barely use a computer. Mm-hmm. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on my phone 24/7. I turn it off. I always use a planner. I write everything down. From year to year, I save my calendars, and you can see how much I get accomplished just by shutting those things down, because it's not our world.
But that's not what your husband does, right?
World. No, he's on his phone 24/7, texting and finding out information, but he's not texting. He's finding out information. He bought these phones from China, and they constantly have new updates and things like that.
Yes. All right, I got to take a break here, Sherlene, so hang on. You hang on right there, because my godly wife, my toxic life coach, is going to come back, and she's going to talk about what do you do when there's somebody in your life that you really love, that you really care about, and they are tied to this device. It's kind of taken over. We'll talk about that and more straight ahead here on Moody Radio. Our remaining moments with my toxic life coach on a Toxic Talk Tuesday, and I'm being corrected all around here today. I'm being corrected about how to pronounce words. I'm being corrected by friends who say, Andrea's been on this hour of the program on a Tuesday. Well, let me just live in my world for a little bit longer.
Well, let's talk about dopaminergic, though, shall
no,
we?
No, let's not do that.
Oh, okay.
Let's not do that.
That was Ryan and Nate who checked out an audio way to say that.
Dopaminergic.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Glow Kids, you can see Glow Kids, you can find out more about it, because Andrea's talked a lot about that. There's a technology and the loving resistance fighter at our website, at her website, ittakestime.com. We got a link to that. But the question is, how do you deal with a spouse who's has this in their life?
Yes. And first of all, I got so much from our caller, and the fact she has a planner and she writes things down, and I just was so inspired by that. And I am convinced that writing lists, I know that there's all these apps that keep notes, but those are stored memory. It's not helping us remember ourselves, and we're losing some of those neurons and brain cells simply because of that one habit. But so I was so inspired by that. But what do you do if your spouse has a device in their hand 24/7, I would encourage her to treat it as if you would any addiction. And I go back to Gary Chapman, who's so wise on all of this. What do you do when your spouse is addicted? It's not an innocent, benign device that's getting in the way. His brain is very much needing it, addictively speaking, if it's that often. And so I would treat it in the marriage a lot like that. And sometimes that means tough love, or just sitting down and saying, this is impacting our marriage. Have the hard conversations, and don't be afraid to voice your concern, because it does seem so innocent. Well, what's wrong with me that feels, and kids cannot verbalize this the way adults can. And imagine when your child says, mommy, mommy, I need your attention, and you're on your phone. That's the best they can do, is to say, this is getting in the way of our relationship. They can't use those words, but that's what they're saying. And I could feel it with my teenagers that this is what they were feeling. It's so tempting. Especially a traffic light. What kind of example is that? It's a red light. I can check my phone. No more. But that's what I'm telling my kids. Well, don't text and drive. But here, it's a red light I can check, because I've been driving for 40 years.
Here's the thing that always helped me is what you say about kids. Kids who are addicted to these games and they can't get away from them, their brains are working as they were designed to.
Yes.
So for the husband who's always on that phone, it's like, let's not shame him and say, you terrible person, and I don't have a relationship with me. Is that you start out by saying, you know what, you're normal. You know, that you're drawn to this makes a lot of sense neurologically, and the neurotransmitters and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what it is, but it just makes that takes the shame out of it.
Yes. And admitting that I am addicted to this. And sometimes we need help with that, and that's okay. It's sometimes just knowing that I have this problem and I'm going to put that away. Like our gamer who mm-hmm. just called and said, I moved out and then I just put him in storage and, oh, I have a whole new life.
Hey, all these people here, a 55-year-old who says, I only use a flip phone now. If I need the internet, I go to the library. The thing I don't want to do, though, is to become pharisaical with this. If you use a tablet, you are...
I use a tablet in airplane mode, and I love to listen to books that way, and I can download them, and it's a great way to listen to books. Hmm. But I'm very careful about what I'm listening to. I find that listening is just so good for my brain. So it's not the technology itself. They're great tools. Are we tools of our tools, though?
Yeah. Resistance is a good word, too. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see a link to Technopoly and the Loving Resistance Fighter. Is there anything in here you wanted to say?
Well,
before
Well, it was just putting words to... Are you this helps you identify. Are you one who has concerns? Because this could be you. Do you take seriously the meaning of family, loyalty, and honor? And who, when you say reach out and touch someone, expect that person to be in the same room? Well, you might be in the category of a loving resistance fighter, technology resistance fighter. Do you take the great narratives? And this is his words. Take the great narratives of religion seriously and do not believe that science is the only system of thought capable of producing truth. Who are suspicious of the idea of progress, who do not confuse information with understanding, and I would add, information with wisdom.
Yes.
There's nothing about searching online that gives us wisdom.
Those who resist the American technopoly are people who do not regard the aged as irrelevant. I really like that. Because it's very easy to say, oh, you're just a fuddy-duddy. You don't have a phone. You don't know how to do that. You don't even have to do the thing at the gas station. No. There's something that you can learn from that older person who is a little more resistant to this, and that's where we're going to have to leave it. Andrea, come on back next time, will you?
Thank you. Went too quickly.
In November, Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries. Thanks a lot for listening.